The Akaroa Salmon Farm floats in the ocean on the southern side of Akaroa Harbour on Banks Peninsula. Duncan Bates, who built the farm with his father Tom, is heading out to check on the fish with Rick Smale, the salmon farm's manager. Cosmo met them on the wharf at Wainui before they climbed aboard one of the farm's boats. First up, he talked to Duncan.
We based ourselves in Wainui because it's a little bit closer to the production farms. It's also where my family settled back in the 1850s. My great-great-grandfather farmed in Wainui Valley. So, you know, there's a little bit of a legacy behind that as well. So we established the salmon farm in the 70s and 80s, you know, when farming was going through those massive changes. You know, we were looking for diversification and this opportunity presented itself, so so we took it. Dad worked on the compliance side of putting the farm in the harbour, so back then it was the Akaroa County Council, and there might have been 10 councillors, and we all, you know, we knew them. Dad knew them better than me because I was younger.
Because I guess you would have needed a licence to be able to set up the farm.
Yeah, they gave us leave for 1 year because nobody really knew what we were going to do, including us. And so they said, yeah, go out there and do this for a year and we'll see what it looks like after a year. And so we did that and they came out and we were still there. There was a lot of no-sayers that believed, you know, our infrastructure would get washed up on the beach. But it didn't and we were still there, and the councils then said, OK, just keep going for another year. We quite like what we're seeing. And after 2 years, they allowed us then to go to the Ministry of Fisheries and apply for a marine farming licence.
So this hadn't been done prior to that in the harbour?
No, not in Akaroa. There was some farms just starting up in the Marlborough Sounds, and there was also some operations, Big Glory Bay down in Stewart Island.
Yes. Mm. So were you and your father learning along the way?
Yeah, for sure. This is 1984 we're talking. I'd just left Lincoln University, and I got a job at the Tent Burn Hatchery that was operated then by the New Zealand Salmon Farming Company. And I worked there for 3 or 4 months, and then I went down to their production farms down in Stewart Island, and I worked down there for a year. So that was my training in salmon farming, and what little knowledge that I accumulated. We brought up here and put the farm into place and put our first fish to sea in December of 1986.
Did you build the original pens yourself?
Yeah, we did. It was always from the year ago, it was a very hands-on type of operation. We didn't have a lot of capital to start the business. I was lucky enough to get a loan from the Rural Bank. So we had to learn how to do most things ourselves. So mostly I did the salmon farming, feeding fish. I used to drive out to Land's End and then walk down the hill. I had a little wooden dinghy that I used to row out to the farm on, and there was a vessel that operated out of Akaroa. He used to bring out our feed for me. They were in 25-kilogram bags back then. And that was the start of salmon farming.
And now I think you told me you've got, what, 70 employees in total?
In total, yeah. So, you know, 13 guys out here. That, you know, not always 13 working at any one time because they're rostered so that we can operate 7 days a week. And then the processing side of the business in Christchurch, there's quite a few people employed there, and then there's an administrative staff as well. So, you know, in total there's around about 70 people.
Wow, what a success story.
Yeah, we're dead lucky, you know. It's a pretty good product and people like to eat it. And, you know, it was a sort of a vision that Dad and I had that, you know, we could become a vertically integrated farming system as opposed to land-based farming systems where you sort of operate in a silo. So you're the producer and then someone comes along and buys your product and it gets processed and then someone else sells it. You know, we had this vision that we'd like to be in control of our own destiny, and that model's been good for us.
Mm. And of course, as you've mentioned, when you first started the salmon farm, land farming was going through quite a few challenges.
Very much so, yeah. Yeah, it was tough going. Subsidies were being removed. Not a bad thing in the long term, but at the time it hurt like hell. And we were looking for diversification, and the harbour allowed us to do that.
Does your family still farm on the peninsula?
No more, no. No, just the salmon farm. The salmon farm has absolutely dominated my life for the last 30 years.
Rick, the operations manager, is at the end of the jetty and he's just got the boat ready because we are going to head out to your farm.
Great, yeah, let's do it.
Hi Rick, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thanks.
How long have you been working for Akaroa Salmon?
9 years now, yeah.
What does your work involve?
Just looking after the farm on a day-to-day basis and keeping the staff going, keeping them busy.
So would you spend a lot of time on the water?
Yeah, most days, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so what's happening today?
We've got just net cleaning. There's got two guys out there working the ROV, and that's a seven-day-a-week operation. And then there's a couple of boys feeding as well.
Mm. What's the ROV?
It's a remote operated vehicle that cleans the net. They drive it from inside the wheelhouse, and it's a bit like mowing the lawns. You just drive it all over the net, and it cleans it. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, let's head out to the farm.
Good day for net cleaning today.
It's good visibility.
He's in.
Rick's dog has just fallen into the water and he's swimming back to us. You quite like that dip, don't you?
Shall we put the hammer down and get out there?
Yeah.
As we head towards the head of the harbour, there's no sign of the salmon farm.
No sign yet. You need to get a bit closer before you can see it. The salmon farm's got a very low profile on the water, and that's the way we like it. You know, we don't like to be visually obtrusive. That boat in front of you, that's our original boat. It's been at the bottom of the harbour a couple of times, but we lifted back up again. And
was that because there were storms? Or
the first time was it had been into an engineer to get repaired, and the engineer had drilled a hole in the hull to get at something and then forgotten to cover the hole. So we put it in the water, and half an hour later it sunk.
Were you in the boat?
Yeah, a few people were in the boat, Dad included, and my uncle. It was made the news. Wasn't very pleasant, but you know, we've modified that boat over the years and it's still a really functional boat for us, and we use it for feeding fish.
We have arrived at the salmon farm out towards the heads of the harbour, and the farm's sort of tucked into a bay, and the hills leading down to the water are quite steep, and there's a lot of native bush growing in the gullies. I guess this must be a big sheep farm.
Sheep and cattle, yeah. This farm here is owned by a gentleman called Roger Beatty. He farms Pitt Island sheep on this property. The farm further out towards the heads, that's Land's End. That's traditional sheep and cattle property owned by the Hutchison families through three or four probably generations.
Mm. Now, how many pens have you got here?
Oh, Rick's probably best to answer that question.
17 pens at the moment. Yeah, 17 plastic circles. And the boys are sorting some moorings over there at Lucas Bay. We've just put in a couple of 120-metre circles, so we're getting them all shored up.
What type of salmon do you farm here?
They're Chinook, or Quinnet, king salmon.
They're a Pacific salmon. Most of the salmon farmed around the world are Atlantic salmon. Their natural home is on the west coast of North America, from round about Sacramento right up to Alaska, and they were introduced to New Zealand back around about 1890 through to 1920. They continued to bring eggs from that part of the world to New Zealand to establish a sports fishery. Mm.
Do you have a salmon hatchery somewhere else?
Yeah, we do. We've got a hatchery. We're a quarter owner in that hatchery. That's just north of Christchurch. And then another hatchery that sits between Methven and Ashburton down in Mid-Canterbury.
And how often do you bring smolt here to the farm?
Twice a year we do a spring transfer. That's the bulk of our replacement stock come in the spring. We specify 30 gram fish to come then. And then we do an autumn transfer, and those fish, those smolt, are usually around about 100 grams. And we will start harvesting that fish in 16 months' time.
And, Rick, what sort of feed do the fish get?
It's fish-based, obviously, and plant-based meal and fish oil, plant oil.
And how much would you feed out a day?
We're feeding about between 5 and 6 tonne at the moment.
A day?
A day, yeah.
Duncan, that must be one of your major expenses.
Yep, feed's right at the top of our operational costs. There's a sort of an overarching philosophy that I like to work with here in regards to our farming system. You know, I like to grow our salmon to replicate as much as we can, the wild salmon, within a farming system. And with feed, you know, way back in the day, we were a big user of fish meal. We used to go out, well, not us, but people used to go out and catch wild fish on purpose to turn into fish meal and fish oil so that could be used to feed salmon and salmon farms. Through the years, you know, we've acknowledged that that's not a really sustainable thing to do. We were feeding 2 kilograms of one fish to grow 1 kilo of another fish. So our feed's been modified, and now we, as Rick said, we use plant-based proteins and algae. There's companies around the world growing algae, so that's where we source our oil from now, which provides our omega-3 into our fish. And we've become now a positive fish protein producer. So because we're using alternative proteins, renewable proteins, we can grow a kilo of fish now in a positive way. You know, I just love being able to do that.
Mm. I was going to say, I mean, some environmental groups have expressed concerns about salmon farming and the impacts they have on the ecosystem. Is that something that you are dealing with now?
Yep, we are totally on the front foot there. Not because we're trying to push back on polarised people in regards to the impact or the perceived negative impact we have on our environment, but being an intergenerational occupier of this environment, I'm absolutely motivated to maintain our environment, to farm in a sustainable way. And to that end, we introduced, probably about 10 years ago, a monitoring program, and that's made us be much more proactive in regards to biomasses that we're farming, our feeding systems, and it's just made us be much better farmers.
I guess, Rick, this is always a challenge for you, how to improve the operation.
Yeah, that's right, and yeah, it's pretty efficient with the use of cameras and making sure we're minimising the waste going to the seafloor.
Now, you've got some nets over all the pens. Are they to prevent the birds from swooping down and eating the feed?
Yeah, it is, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and as well as that, the smolt net we're just moving up on now is that's to keep shags and things out, that any predators. And I mean, we do get the odd seal as well, and they would happily flop over the rail and get into the pen. So, yeah, it's a bit of everything.
How do you harvest the fish?
We push them up to that harvest platform over there in one of these rectangular cages and crowd them up and then suck them out with a big airlift pump. And they go over a table, and we'll feed them through a stunner, pneumatic stunners, and then bleed them and put them straight onto ice there.
How long is it before they get to the processing plant in Christchurch?
About 3 hours, and then they get gill and gutted that afternoon,
So how many tonnes of fish are you harvesting at the moment, a year?
We will harvest in 22 around about 700 tonne now. You know, that might sound a lot, but in salmon farming production terms, I reckon we'd just about be the smallest salmon farm in the world based in the ocean. 700 tonnes is nothing.
So do your products go mainly into the New Zealand market, or do you export a lot of salmon?
Pre-COVID, our market was about 80% New Zealand, all hospitality, food service, a little bit of retail, but not very much. And then COVID made us flip that around a little bit, so now we sell into retail, South Island retail, foodstuffs. That was a necessity because the food service market in New Zealand had just about evaporated. But the other thing that's happened is we've also had to grow the export market, and so now it's about 50-50. But I'm sure that from now and through to Christmas and onwards, the hospitality industry in New Zealand will continue to grow. And so, you know, hopefully we can get that balance back to sort of 70-30. It would be really good. That's where I'd like it to be.
When you were working alone on the original pen, did you ever think that your business could get this big?
Yep, absolutely. You know, I was 24, young, energetic, and my vision that I had is just about complete. I believe that, you know, we've got the ability to grow, you know, 1,000 tonne here on these sites and do it sustainably and do it really well. And we're just about there, and, you know, I that pleases me a lot.
In terms of day-to-day salmon farming, what are the biggest challenges you face?
Probably weather. For me, it's you know, it's a constant worry, I suppose. When you wake up in the middle of the night and there's a storm happening, you start thinking about the security of the farm. But the biggest one was about 7 years ago, and it was a big southeasterly storm, and it threw rocks all over the road up in Wainui there, and peeled the tin off the front of our feed shed above the wharf there, and yeah, I think they were, probably had 2 to 3 metre swells coming through the farm at that stage.
One storm pre-rick, the swell at Wainui was just too big that we couldn't get out to the boats on the moorings, so we drove up to Land's End and walked down the hill and put wetsuits on and swam out to the farm and spent the day basically tying up ropes and making sure that you know, that the farm was, you know, was going to be there the next day. And you know, we've been lucky always to have a really good crew of invested people here, you know, and you know, they happy to, you know, they invest themselves in the success and happy to, you know, do that sort of work when required.
Have you had any unintentional releases happen here into the harbour?
Oh, well, yeah, I don't really like to talk about them. Yeah, there have been over the years. It's been a big learning curve for me, and yeah, we've had sharks get into the pens and make a whole lot of holes. We had 5 seven gill sharks in one pen at one time. And they, they made a mess of the bottom of the net, and we lost, it was around 5,000, 2.5 kilo fish. The local fishermen loved us for that. They're always asking me if you've had any escapes lately, and fortunately I can be saying to them, no, we haven't for quite a long time now.
How can you stop those sharks from breaking through the nets?
We've put shark guards on underneath the nets now, so we've got a second layer of mesh underneath. Unfortunately, the sharks aren't intelligent enough to know that they could push this first layer into the second layer and get their teeth into some fish. But yeah, it's been really effective.
How much water area does your entire farm cover?
So total together, the two sites, less than 5 hectares. So as a primary production system, we're utilising 5 hectares of surface space, and that employs 70 people. So it's a really, really good way of using a resource.
Now there's a feeding frenzy going on in the pen we're beside because the man in the next door boat is blowing out all the feed.
And the other guy's looking at the monitor. The tools that they've got is a camera sitting at 5 metres depth there. So definitely if they see feed going past that camera, then they'll shut off the feeding. And what we try to achieve is around about a 90% satisfaction for the fish. If we can achieve that, then we know that we're not dropping feed onto the seafloor, and we know that we're not going to be feeding too much. But, I mean, this is one thing that I think is really important. So there are lots of feeding systems out there where you could remove the human side of feeding, but I want guys here looking at the fish because that gives them and me a sense of how well the fish are. But, you know, that's really important to me. You can't lose the fact that we're salmon farmers and you need to nurture your animals.
Recently, Duncan, you drafted a salmon welfare document. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so as an industry, we like to be on the front foot when it comes to this sort of thing, so we felt it was important that the industry was consistent in how we farm salmon and how we treat our animals. And then we got buy-in from the SPCA on that front, and they were very comfortable with the document we drafted. There's only one thing that we're at odds with, and they want us to introduce a camera recording of the actual harvest happening. Obviously, you can see logistically that's quite challenging for us to do that, but you know, we'll figure out a way of doing it. And as an industry now, we think it's important that we're consistent and we document these things and stay on the front foot.
Duncan Bates there on a boat at the Akaroa Salmon Farm near Wainui in Akaroa Harbour. Cosmo was also talking to Akaroa Salmon's Farm Operations Manager Rick Smale.